Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, it's going to sound like, perhaps, QAnon. It's going to sound like a conspiracy theory. It's going to sound like something you'd get off of 4chan, 8, 4tran, 8tran, 4tran, chan, what is it? 4tran, 4chan, 4chan, 8chan, all these kind of dark web things. And what is it? So we titled the name of the show today. Other than the obvious, the Steve Noble Show, welcome back. Good to be with you. Of the Great Reset. And as you get into it, that's what I'm asking you. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the Great Reset? Are you ready to see a solution to most of the problems on planet Earth? I mean, literally across the spectrum. So that's what the Great Reset is. And powerful. They're meeting this week. Normally they meet in Davos, Switzerland, this tiny little town of about 3,000 people, ski town. And they all fly in on their Gulfstreams because it's huge money people and governmental leaders. I'll tell you what companies are involved, what people are involved, because it is some of the most powerful people and organizations on the planet and government leaders, although not governments themselves, but government leaders, for example, like President Xi of China. Okay. And your last name may be Trump and your last name may be Biden, but in the global economy, in the global world, the real mover and shaker is not them. It's President Xi from the People's Republic of China, PRC. And he's involved. And what China wants to do with it all, thinking probably they can run it all. But this is even bigger than China. And once I unpack this for you, I did a show on this back in August. So on August 20th, you get the podcast or go to the Steve Noble Show .com and get the podcast. Reset the World was the name of that one. I did it on August 11th of last year, okay? And I want you to be aware of what's going on. So the mastermind, quote-unquote, behind all of this is not Dr. No. It's not what's-his-name in Mini-Me. It's a guy by the name of Dr. Well, he's not even a doctor, I don't think. A PhD. He is a professor. Professor Klaus Schwab. Born in Ravensburg, Germany in 1938, he's the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, the International Organization for Public-Private Cooperation, and now what they're calling the Great Reset. This is not buried. This is not hiding anywhere. This is out in plain sight. You can go look at it all yourself, weforum.org, or just Google the Great Reset, and you'll get right to their website. But they've got a huge agenda. All these people, all these companies involved this week. All virtual because of COVID-19, so it's all in this big Zoom thing. But the Great Reset is out there, and it's gaining momentum, and most likely looks like the mechanism by which you could have essentially a one-world government, and eventually the rise of the Antichrist. Fits right into this nice and neat, well-packaged, all setting up nicely. What's our place in all of that is another conversation, but this stuff is happening, and it's real, so I want you to understand it. So we're going to spend three segments of the show today, and then we'll make up for yesterday because we had a chance to speak to Dick Brogdon yesterday, a missionary that's been dealing with Muslims for 25 years. That was an awesome show from yesterday, and he was in town, so that worked out. So we'll hear from our good friend and resident expert on the financial world, David Fisher, in the fourth segment of the show today. So we'll do a little Money Monday update on a Tuesday. Okay, I want you to hear from Professor Klaus Schwab himself. So this is him explaining a little bit of this great opportunity that we have right now because of COVID and other things in the world for this incredible opportunity known as the Great Reset. So here's Professor Klaus Schwab.
We are coming out thanks also to the leadership of China in terms of fighting the pandemic, in terms of reinvigorating its economy. We have now a window of opportunity to create this global reset, which we all need. This global reset is necessary because we have seen that our policies, which we pursued before the coronavirus struck us, that those policies do not create the necessary inclusion of society, necessary for harmonious societal development. And they do not create the sustainability of what we are doing. Just think of the global warming, how fast it is developing in the opposite into the negative direction. So we have a great opportunity at this moment, like we had after World War II, to have in some way a new beginning in our global cooperation, in globalization, in managing our global affairs. I hope that we will not miss this opportunity.
Okay, so there's Professor Klaus Schwab talking about a great opportunity, just like on the heels of World War II, which is kind of funny and ironic coming from a German. So when he's talking about this is the World Economic Forum, which has been around since the early 70s, but the Great Reset is so big. It's so enormous. You're still going, whether globalism, is it globalization? Yes. Is it socialism? Not really. Is it communism? Not really. It's something called corporatism, and we're going to get to that. Going around government, going around you, going around me, it's basically governing world affairs completely holistic. Wait till I share some of this information with you. Your jaw should be dropping. You should be going, come on, really? But I'll also attempt to Christianize this a little bit and sell it a little bit. And you're going to hear another video when we come back, which kind of paints this whole picture. It's about 4 minutes. It's very well done. Great video quality, but the audio is excellent. The music, the message, the content setting up, the need for the Great Reset. Because when you look around, you still go, okay, is this really working? Go look at the national debt clock. Go look at the international debt clock. Look at what's happening with COVID response. Look at what's happening with famine around the world. Yada, yada, yada. On and on and on you go. And it's a big, colossal, huge mess. So the point of the Great Reset is the whole system's gotten us here. Free market capitalism. Autonomy, people not caring about the environment. And then we have COVID-19, which has done nothing except completely expose just how unprepared we are, how we lack cooperation, how we have all kinds of problems in the system. And so instead of fixing the system, you just hit the reset button. Control-Alt-Delete, gone. Reset the whole thing. To what? That's the question. And then who's in charge? That's another big question. I'm going to unpack all of this for you today. It's called the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum. They are meeting virtually this week. Normally, they would all fly into Switzerland, Davos, Switzerland, in their Gulfstreams. But this time, they're all on Zoom like everybody else. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you and talking today about the Great Reset, which I'll sell it to you. Well, they're going to sell it to you as well. Changing basically how we live, how we do business, how we do governance, pretty much how we do everything worldwide. I'm going to unpack a bunch of this stuff. Who are the people involved? Who are the corporations involved? That will blow you away. And this is not about socialism. This is not about communism. This is about corporatism, which I'll get to. But I wanted you to hear this. This is the Great Reset right off their website. They're meeting. Normally, they would meet in Davos in January this year because of COVID, which they love, because COVID's the big setup here, exposing that we need essentially a one-world governance, one-world system, and the whole thing that we have now is broken. We need a total reset of the whole system. So they would normally meet in January in Davos, Switzerland. But now they're doing it all online because of COVID, and they're doing it right now. This is happening this week, Monday through Thursday, and wait till you hear the companies and the people that are involved. But this is their kind of promo piece. What is the Great Reset? You're going to hear this. Just listen as a regular consumer, and think, hey, I want you to go in this thinking, I bet you there's some good stuff in here, because without discernment, without wisdom, and without a biblical view, and without understanding human nature and what's going on with governance, it's going to sound good. And there's some things in here that I would sit there and go, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, oh, yeah, that's good. All right. But you judge for yourself. You tell me if you can hear the hiss of the serpent or if you can kind of see Satan here who masquerades as an angel of light. So this is the Great Reset World Economic Forum, kind of their promo piece video with all the sound. So it doesn't matter if you can't see it. All right, let's roll it.
The pandemic has radically changed the world as we know it. And the actions we take today as we work to recover will define our generation.
Now is the time to think what history would say about this crisis.
2020 has been challenging on a lot of levels, as economic, environmental, and societal frailties have been laid bare. But it's also proved that when we need to, we can act rapidly and restructure our lives.
Recovery from the pandemic is an opportunity. We can see rays of hope in the form of a vaccine, but there is no vaccine for the planet. Nature needs a bailout.
Nature needs a bailout.
You don't want to go back to the status quo that you had before, simply because it was the status quo that got us here.
With everything falling apart, we can reshape the world in ways we couldn't before. Ways that better address so many of the challenges we face. And that's why so many are calling for a great reset. A great reset? That sounds more like buzzword bingo masking some nefarious plan for world domination.
No, it's not that.
Hands up. This kind of slogan hasn't gone down well. But all we really want to say is that we all have an opportunity to build a better world. And it's not surprising that people who've been disenfranchised by a broken system and pushed even further by the pandemic will suspect global leaders of conspiracy. But the world's not that simple. Every one of us has differing priorities, values, and ideas. That's part of why solutions are so hard to come by.
Yes.
And why we all need to be involved in the decision making.
All
because
of us.
Whether it's politicians, CEOs, academics, activists, or you, we're all about getting people together.
Oh, yeah.
Even those you may not like.
Right.
To sit down at the table and develop solutions that work for all of us.
Amen.
But
we need enormous trust between the private sector and the public sector for this to actually work. That trust is hard to come by.
Yes. That's
it's
right.
Time for people to work together, listen to each other, and build this trust.
Doesn't that sound nice?
So we can move towards a better world.
Yes. Amen.
And we really need one.
Yes.
Because while the pandemic affects us all, it's clear it affects some more than others.
The first people
True.
Who get hit are the people at the front, those who are vulnerable. It is those on the front line who take it first. And that is simply unacceptable.
See, at the start of 2020, 1% of the world's population owned 44% of the world.
Oh, here we go.
And since the start of the pandemic, billionaires have increased theirs by more than 25%, whilst 150 million people fell back into extreme poverty.
Remember about those rich people, okay? Remember that.
With climate change set to dwarf the damage caused by the pandemic, the message from 2020 should be abundantly clear.
Yes. Capitalism, as we know it, is dead.
This capitalism
that
is
we have
dead.
Had with maximizing profits for shareholders alone has led to incredible inequality and a planetary emergency.
But no one can do this alone, and top-down approaches won't get us anywhere, because everything we've learned in
That's
our work
right.
has shown us that diverse voices lead to better results.
Yes.
And it's for these reasons that the forum talks about something called stakeholder capitalism, which would shift businesses away from just profit. Because
if we want to change where the focus of our recovery will go, then we need a new dashboard for the new economy. And that needs to encompass people, planet, prosperity, and institutions.
Giving people a real stake in the economy and putting well-being before growth. And that's all about getting the right people in the right place at the right time.
That sounds awesome.
We must rebuild our relationship with nature for the survival of the peoples and our planet.
Yes.
We have a window of time which is closing, and we need everybody who cares to get together and find solutions now.
It's the people who have great ideas and who share them with others. They're the ones who are shaping the future. So if you want to be a part of the change, then tune in, turn on, and get involved. Follow the Davos Agenda right here.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Online,
tune in, turn on, get involved, right? Davos Agenda, World Economic Forum, The Great Reset, yada, yada, yada. So take off your skeptical glasses and all that stuff. And just when you listen to that, you go, solving all these world problems. And man, we had this incredible imbalance of wealth, and the rich just keep getting richer. I mean, they really did well. Under the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, of course, they're going to continue to, the rich are doing it to the poor, and we want everybody involved, yada, yada, yada. But is everybody really going to be involved in the Great Reset? Are there a bunch of normal people taking part in Davos? We have regular people, almost like a representative republic, that go in there and represent regular people like you and me, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, rich people, middle-class people, whatever. Well, let's look, shall we? Let's look at who's involved. Now, I went to their partners page. I've done this before because I did a show on it in August. This is a partner page from all the corporations that are involved with the Great Reset, okay? Listen, and these are just the ones that I recognize. I'm going to read this really fast. You should recognize most of them. Bank of America, Cantor Fitzgerald, Barclays, Citi, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, MasterCard, Morgan Stanley, PayPal, RBC, State Bank of India, UBS, Visa, Lockheed Martin, Siemens, Stanley Black and Decker, Boeing, Gulfstream, Anheuser-Busch, Bayer, Cargill, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Tyson Foods, Honda, Hyundai, Toyota, Volkswagen, Volvo, Dow Chemical, Merck, Mitsubishi, Cisco, Ericsson, Nokia, Qualcomm, AARP, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, of course, CVS, Johnson & Johnson, the Mayo Clinic, Moderna, hello, experimental vaccine, remember? Pfizer, oh yeah, there we go again, Apple, Amazon Web Services, that's who dumped Parler, Cisco, Dell, Facebook, Google, HP, IBM, MasterCard, Microsoft, Verizon, AIG, BlackRock, Bloomberg, Western Union, Alibaba Group, Sony, BP, Chevron, Occidental, ADP, IKEA, Procter & Gamble, Lego, and Walmart. Those are all involved. And those are just the corporations off this huge list that I recognized that are name brands. These are multinational, massive corporations who control way more of what happens in the world than governments do. Okay, you got to remember that. That's why we're talking about corporatism with the Great Reset. But what about some world leaders? What about some governmental leaders? We'll start at the top. President Xi, People's Republic of China, the Prime Minister of India, the Prime Minister of Japan, the President of France, the Federal Merkel, the Federal Chancellor of Germany, the President of the European Commission, the President of the Republic of Korea, Vladimir Putin, of course, President of Argentina, President of South Africa, Prime Minister of Spain, President of the Swiss Confederation, the Federal Counselor, President of Colombia, Costa Rica, Republic, Prime Minister of Greece, on and on it goes. We'll continue there. I'm so hyped up. I'm so jacked up. It's nice to hear a little calm, cool, Steely Dan. They bring me back down, but I'll blow all that up as we talk about the Great Reset. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble with the Steve Noble Show. Okay, so let me dive you into some of this. I was just flying through all of these companies, all right? This is not about countries. This is about corporations. These are all the biggest corporations on the planet, and I gave you a list before the break of just the ones that I recognize. There's a bunch of other ones on there, okay? But these are just the ones I recognize, and these are the big, massive players. Google, Amazon, Facebook, all that stuff. Who's controlling conversation all over the place? And then you look at banking, you look at industry, you look at travel, you look at energy, all of it. And all these major corporations all around the world are all involved in Davos and the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset. So when you look at the Great Reset, okay, I'm using this document that I printed off from their website, okay, just Google the Great Reset. They're not hiding any of this, okay? You don't have to go on the dark web to find this stuff. It's readily available. It's right there for you to see. And knowledge is our best weapon against this. It's our best defense is knowledge. So people understand. So when you hear their propaganda, they can pull the wool over your eyes. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And you go, man, this sounds like a great answer to so many of our problems. What is the Great Reset? I don't know. But these are the smartest corporations, the smartest people on the planet. So I guess we can trust them. So who is this about the people? No, the people don't run this. This isn't about voting. This isn't about elections. This is corporatism. Okay. Corporations in bed with governments like we see right now with our own government. And like Google and Amazon and Facebook and Twitter, essentially taking over the world. So here's kind of the pillars of this. Harnessing the fourth industrial revolution, which is, by the way, the mating of technology with humanness. That's the fourth industrial revolution in the digital age. Strengthening regional development. I'm going to give you some examples. Revitalizing global cooperation. Shaping the economic recovery. Redesigning social contracts, skills, and jobs. Restoring the health of the environment. Developing sustainable business models. Now, they have this whole wheel on here, all right? This whole wheel, which then shows you all these subcategories of what in the world are you talking about? I'm just going to work my way around this. Just so you, I'm just giving you this big primer. I'm painting with a really wide brush so you can see that this is literally about resetting how the entire world works. Literally. And they're after this. This is real. This is going on. Digital economy and the new value creation. Artificial intelligence and robotics. Blockchain, that's like involved with digital currency. Drones, digital identity, internet governance, the ocean, banking and capital markets, aviation, travel and tourism, future of health and healthcare, international trade and investment, global governance, COVID-19, financial and monetary systems, public finance and social protection, cities and urbanization, climate change, geoeconomics, future of economic progress. Okay, let me go to the other side. International security, geopolitics, future of food, air pollution, environment, natural resource security, 3D printing, plastics in the environment, batteries, corporate governance, circular economy, whatever that is, forests, justice and law, human rights, gender parity. Of course, that was going to be in there. LGBT inclusion, taxation, future of media, entertainment and culture, digital economy and new value creation, artificial intelligence, robotics. I already did all those. Okay. So they're talking about this Davos Manifesto, which is what the Great Reset's all about. And again, I opened up all the floodgates here, and I'm just pouring all of this information out on top of you so you know how holistic and worldwide this is, and some of the most powerful corporations and people on the planet are involved. This is not about voting. This is not about power to the people. This is power to corporations, corporatism. Okay, so this is from their own document. Why do we need the Davos Manifesto for a better kind of capitalism? What kind of capitalism do we want? That may be the defining question of our era. If we want to sustain our economic system for future generations, we must answer it closely. So they talk about shareholder capitalism embraced by most Western corporations, which holds that a corporation's primary goal should be to maximize its profit. The second model is state capitalism, which entrusts the government with setting the direction of the economy and has risen to prominence in many emerging markets, not the least of which is China. But compared to these two options, they write, the third has the most to recommend. Stakeholder capitalism, a model I first, this is Klaus Schwab, the model I first proposed a half century ago positions private corporations as trustees of society and is clearly the best response to today's social and environmental challenges. Whoa. Then he goes on to talk about the Greta Thunberg effect. You know, the little girl from Germany or wherever she's from, the big climate person, right? She's like 16. She went out and just goes ballistic on everybody at all these meetings of the elite. One likely reason that we need to get here is the Greta Thunberg effect, he calls it. The young Swedish climate activist has reminded us that adherence to the current economic system represents a betrayal of future generations owing to its environmental unsustainability. So she's yelling at the rest of us that we're killing the planet that she and the rest of the kids are going to live on, right? Another related reason is that millennials and Gen Z no longer want to work for, invest in, or buy from companies that lack values beyond maximizing shareholder value. That's why Marxism and socialism looks good to them. And finally, executives and investors have started to recognize that their own long-term success is closely linked to that of their customers, employees, and suppliers. On and on and on it goes. Okay, this is wild global domination and restructuring of every nook and cranny of society, including business. Okay, we should seize this moment, he writes, to ensure that stakeholder capitalism remains the new dominant model. To that end, the World Economic Forum is releasing a new Davos Manifesto, which you go into it. I've got it right here from last year. The universal purpose of a company in the fourth industrial revolution. Basically telling all these companies how they need to operate. And they get a grade. And then they determine how much money you can make and how much profit they can have based on their grading. And their grading is based on, well, I don't know, LGBTQ diversity. It's based on how they handle the environment. And then they control how much people pay, how much people get paid. They control corporate payouts, stock price, all that stuff. Okay, so you got this entity, this worldwide entity of elites that control the whole thing and determine what the deal is with each company based on how well that company is playing by the rules. Well, who sets the rules? Who enforces the rules? It's literally a worldwide oligarchy. Oligarchy, which I think is how America runs now, is government by a very small, very powerful group of people. Okay, so in this case, it's the top 200 corporations in the world and their leaders and a few government leaders that are willing to play ball. But once you get all that corporatism together and the economic power behind that and the technology behind that, just look at Facebook and Amazon. Amazon can deplatform pretty much anybody because everybody uses Amazon Web Services. They can drop you like hotcake. I could be gone off of Facebook right now if they just decided we're done with this stupid Christian wacko. You're out of here. Okay? So there's another article. I'll put a link up to it. I don't have time to go through it all. The Great Reset, if only it were just a conspiracy. This was written by Andrew Stutterford in the National Review. This is November 27th of last year, okay? And everything in here is really scary. I'm just going to jump to the end, okay, to finish up our time. And then we'll talk to David Fisher, do a Money Monday update, while we still have any kind of ability to invest in the economy. Come, Lord Jesus. We should always be careful before writing theories off as nuts. It matters that some of the world's richest and most powerful people are so interested in resetting the way we live. You can think what you like about their ideas and activities. It would be foolish to deny their significance. Indeed, he doesn't believe that there's any sort of conspiracy, and neither do I. This is the two writers here. The Great Reset is being orchestrated in plain sight and not by a shadowy group of plotters. But to accept that is not to deny that it may be consequential. As I wrote in my earlier article, so the WEF, World Economic Forum, matters. And so will its Great Reset. If a recital of some of what the forum has achieved or enabled is not proof enough of that, the list of politicians, business people, and other prominent people who attended its conferences, sign up for its partnerships, and subscribe to its initiatives ought surely to do the trick. But the World Economic Forum is not the center of some vast conspiracy. Dr. Schwab is Dr. Disturbingly Influential, not Dr. Evil. What is striking about the Great Reset is not the scale of its vision, but how often and for how long we have already been hearing in one form or another variants of its main themes. The need for drastic action on climate change, stakeholder capitalism, definancialization, moving away from the Anglo-Saxon model, thinking of the planet before we travel, shop, or even eat. Themes that, in many cases, have emerged from the fringes to take center stage, and not only in front of the Davos crowd. The elite consensus on the way ahead is disturbing, and so it is. This other writer observes, one critic has called Davos an ideological synchronization environment for individuals, corporations, and governments to keep on the same page. That's different from conspiracy, but not that different. When bad ideas are adopted internationally by some of the richest and most powerful people in the world, the effect can be the same. The Great Reset might be all the more terrifying for not being a sinister plot. And even more so, as it may well represent too much our future for comfort. It's long past time to push back. One very small step could be for shareholders to insist that their company's executives travel to Davos on their own time and on their own dime. Pushing back. Geo-social, political, business engineering, absolute globalization, run by the elites, and people like Kamala, you think Kamala Harris is the problem or Joe Biden? They're bit players in all of this. And then when this stuff starts to happen, and I believe it will because it's all would fit nicely into what God's going to do in the end times, the great tribulation. And then, of course, in walks the man of lawlessness. In walks the Antichrist. And when you start reading stuff like that and seeing that it's real, do you think that's really that big of a leap? That one guy could walk into this. He brings in the one element that they don't have, which is spiritism. And the next thing you know, they're all bowing down. But then, praise the Lord, Jesus comes back. So remember that. All right, we'll be right back after this with David Fisher. Again, only a primer. Please forgive me. We'll be right back. There it is. That's Weezer. Did you catch that yesterday, Seth, when I accidentally attributed that song to the Mighty Mighty Boston? We just changed out all the bump music. This is all stuff I've been listening to for years. Not as much as I used to, so don't condemn me to hell. But just trying, somebody be like, hey, is that, do you use some secular bump music there, Steve? Yeah, I use some Christian music and I use some secular music. I throw that in there just to do a little test on our desire to judge one another and to make sure you're paying attention. And it's important, especially when we do a Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher. He's just a great brother in Christ, an expert in the financial markets, what's going on in the world of banking, and then also how that interacts with the world of precious metals. And our brother in Christ and has been in that world for 25 years. And so we have an opportunity every week to kind of learn from David and try to be better stewards of the resources that God gives us. David, how are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. So how do you like this banking quote, since you're talking about me and banking? Janet Yellen being paid the last 2 years $7.3 million in speeches royalties. The same bank she's going to regulate paid her those royalties. So check that out. Is that not a conflict of interest?
Yeah, I think for any sane person. So $7.3 million for running around and speaking, and then now she's going to be allegedly providing some oversight of the said banks that threw $7.3 million in her bank account the last 2 years. So yeah, I see no problems there, David. I think you're being paranoid. Anyway, yeah. great to have you here, and I appreciate being able to bump back a day. And on our Money Monday updates, friends, we talk about finances and money and possessions on a regular basis because the Bible does. And so we have to be as good as stewards, whether you have a little or a lot or somewhere in between. Like most of us, we need to be good stewards. And so when the Bible talks about it on a regular basis, we need to do the same. And I really love Money Monday updates, David, because we always start with the passage of Scripture. One of my favorite books to teach is the book of Ecclesiastes. So let's start there.
7, verse 9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools.
Wow.
You know, we could resort to anger. Maybe those of us that might be disappointed in who got elected. And there's a dear brother of mine that he's so stuck in the side of anger, it's like it's affecting his spirit. And I keep trying to, you know, befriend him and minister him and saying, you know, don't let it control you. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. It also can be as simple today as there's another brother that he's investing, and we got a funding notice, and we're playing phone tag back and forth like 6 or 7 times a day because we're both extremely busy.
Yeah.
And I could be thinking, well, he must be angry, but it wasn't. I was just concerned, and he was concerned. And so, you know, whatever the thing being small or big, take a pause. Don't let the anger be a part of your spirit, and because that's not what the Lord wants us for our relationship with him.
Yeah, and there's a time and a place for it, and you have to make sure you got a lot of self-control there. And remember, people, righteous indignation, and look at Jesus, what he did in the temple, and I always remind people, but you're not Jesus. So you're operating, and you see through the glass dimly. So somebody taught me years ago, always be suspicious of yourself and be willing to look in the mirror like David did and, you know, search my heart, Lord, and reveal in me any unclean and wicked things. And especially when we're angry, boy, it's so easy to mess up. And lose the joy of the Lord and not be able to think clearly. So such a great passage, a great reminder. Thanks for that. So what's going on this week in the market? Things are going to move fast and furious, but what's going on that might influence the market this week?
3 major things, Steve. It's the busiest week of season earnings. In fact, 122 out of the S&P 500 stocks are going to report earnings this week and have done so already. There's been bullish call options starting January 14th, 32 million contracts changed hands. So that's a huge movement of people betting that the market's going to go higher. And Apple, Apple and Tesla were the popular bets. Apple quarterly sales are expected to cross $100 billion. Tesla is on the 6th consecutive quarterly profit. That's the first thing, reporting of earnings. Second thing is the Fed is going to report on Wednesday. I don't think there's going to be material changes or any big changes. But the big question is on the investor's mind is when is the timetable that the Fed will start buying less treasuries, and when will they start selling treasuries, called tapering?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is this whole stimulus package probably going to get passed this week, the $1.9 trillion deal for COVID-19.
Yeah, because they've been setting the table for that. And you know, Chuck Schumer was talking about, hey, we need to do this for the people. We got to get over our partisan bickering. We got to do what's best for the country, all that kind of lofty talk. And they're going to move that through pretty quick. And all these things end up affecting the market. But what about, like, last year, COVID-19 obviously had an ongoing effect on everything going on with the markets. How much should we factor COVID-19 in this year? Because now we're talking about the experimental drug they like to call vaccines and all this kind of stuff. So how much of a game changer is COVID this year when it comes to the markets?
Well, it's still a question. I don't think it's nearly as big of a question, but Goldman Sachs did write a big periodical over the weekend called What Could Go Wrong in 2021. They gave 3 downside risks. The first one was that consumers would remain very cautious because the vaccine's not fully out there yet for everybody and it's not contained. They said the second downside risk is there's this virus that's mutating, which could cause more problems. And the third one saying it could mutate so severely that we might not have a vaccine for the mutation, and we might even have a shutdown. So there's some question marks that are unanswered. We'll only know when we get there, but they do linger, not necessarily affecting the market, but affecting the psychology of people.
Yeah, because especially in the market, we've talked about this before, it's amazing how emotional the markets can be. We can have We know the economic factors. We know what's going on with business. We know what's going on with the government. But that doesn't, you look at the numbers and you go, okay, there's some problems here. But the market is so emotional. And what happens on the news, what President Trump did this many times during his administration, and he would tweet something, and next thing you know, Boeing stock is tanking, whatever the case may be. So it's really amazing how emotional the markets can be. Are there any other kind of major things that we might face this year, other headwinds that might cause a problem for all of us in terms of investing?
Well, 20%, here's the topic of one article, 20% of renters in America are behind on their payments to the tune of $5,600.
Wow.
So obviously that affects them, it affects landlords, it's the trickle-down effect. China just surpassed us as the number one destination for foreign investment capital. Last year, the United States plummeted 49% in that capital coming into our country, and China rose by 4%. Just keep in mind, these facts are coming from China, too.
Right.
But Forbes...
Did you just put an asterisk on that, David? Is that what you just did?
This is a disclaimer.
Yes, definitely.
Disclaimer, China is reporting these facts. But I will say, Forbes magazine, pretty reliable source, is writing the article. So I'm going to watch it and see what happens. But if that's the case, and in fact, China was the only country that actually had incoming money more than more money going out. So we need to be watching that, because that is the new wave of what China is trying to do.
Yep.
They've been at this for a long time. Around the stock market, oh boy, I said this before many times, but a new fact is out now. The market is in a bubble. That's not the new fact, but here's a regression to trend chart. The peak of NASDAQ burst in 2000, the NASDAQ fell 78%. Where was it? It was 129% overvalued in the regression to trend chart. Where we were at 1929, it was 79% over the value, and it crashed after that. Where were we at December 2020, just a few months ago, 2 months ago? 150%, 154% over the trend line. So every time we've moved up over 100%, there's been followed by a 50% or more decline. So just be very careful putting all your eggs in that basket. It's great while the market's going up, but when, like you said, Steve, it gets emotional and turns, it can become very violent.
Yeah, and that's downside. That's where we have to be very, very careful. And that's where a lot of people go, well, you know, I'm gonna get in while the getting's hot, while the getting's good, but you don't know where the cliff is. Yeah, we know there is a cliff. You just don't know when the train's going to get to that part of the tracks, and that's why we have to be prayerful and careful, and we need to seek good counsel and make sure we're diversifying. And what about the gold and silver? That's kind of the epicenter of what you do, David, there. And what about the effect on all of that?
Well, we know that the government debt is ballooning. It's unsustainable. And Janet Yellen said, let's act big here recently.
Right. They're all saying that. Go big or go home.
This is like the biggest thing of the going big we've ever seen. So, you know, I said it's going to be around $8 to $13 trillion is what the spending is going to be this year, which is just unheard of. So when Janet Yellen spoke that on that day, record derivative contracts in silver, massive, $500 million showed up in the derivative silver market, which is people betting that silver is going to explode. To put it in perspective, that was 20 million troy ounces, and they only mine 2.2 million ounces of silver a day. So, I mean, the contracts were huge. So, and the $1.9 trillion rescue plan, that's going to be really good for gold. And, you know, because anytime they spend money, like on the New Green Deal and all these things that they got lined up, gold and silver respond to that. So it's relatively undervalued, knowing that the government's going to spend like crazy, the Fed's going to print like crazy, and we have a recipe for higher prices in gold and silver.
Yeah, so there's usually an inverse relationship. When there's trouble in the markets and trouble in what's going on with debt, then you kind of look at the other end of the teeter-totter, and that's where you see precious metals. It's always a fascinating thing to study. Speaking of study and information, how can people learn more if they want to, David?
Call our company the old-fashioned way. 844-604-2575. Again, 844-604-2575. Or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. Thanks for your patience this week, and thanks for helping us understand all this and staying on top of it. We appreciate you. God bless you, brother.
God bless you. We'll talk about Bitcoin next week, too.
Excellent. Great. A lot of people have been asking about that. All right. We look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, pal. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Tomorrow we'll talk. Did somebody get impeached? That sounds familiar. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.